welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Now, as I sought the Lord for what we were going to do this week, earlier in the week, the Lord reminded me of one of these presentations. It's a lot of what we're going to see is stuff that we've seen before. The words are identical. They're words that we've been saying since 2007 when we planted new here in Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. We've added little bits of revelation here and there, you know, but basically the vast majority, 90% of it, is exactly the same. I decided to update some photos for you, but I really felt the Lord just say, I want you to go back and remind everyone of the vision, because as we take up a summit offering today, we're not sowing into the need. We didn't want to develop the kitchen, or we want to do other things in the building, but it's not giving into need, it's giving into vision. All right, we want to know that what we're giving into is something that is developing, is growing, is going somewhere and making a difference, don't we? And so I thought by reminding you of what we've said over the past years of what this building would be used for, it would remind you, because you'd be excited by it, because you'll see it is being used for the very things we expected it to be used for. And all those things are in their infancy on one level, but, well, infants grow up. Amen. Now, if you're part of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, one of the things I hope you've picked up at some point is that the vision can be summed up in three words. The vision of all that we do, the vision of all that's happening, in dare to dream. Sometimes people say, I don't know what the vision of this church is. It's not complicated. It's dare to dream. What does that mean? It means think big. Dare to believe God to do things that you've never seen. Dare to believe that God will change lives. Dare to believe that we will see thousands upon thousands of lives impacted, not just in Scarborough, but as we heard earlier, around the world. Because God says a small one shall become a great nation. Amen. So I dare to believe God's word. And the thing is, the exciting thing is that when we dare to dream, why dream? Because dreaming speaks of thinking big. Dreaming speaks of, oh wow, that is unbelievable. But it's taking hold of it and realizing it is believable because God is in this place. It's not daydreaming. It's not pipe dreaming. It's a Martin Luther King, I have a dream. What he said was, I have a vision. I have a passion that in this nation we will see this happening where black and white can relate together. And when he said that, that seemed so ridiculous in a nation that was so torn by racial strife. And he was even shot for his beliefs. Well, I dare to dream. Do you dare to dream? Even if you're shot down for being such a ridiculous, victorious, triumphant Christian, you say, no, I believe that God is real. I mean, if God is real and he's the creator of the universe, I think he can do quite a lot of stuff. And the trouble is, our difficulty is, maybe that's a better way of expressing it, is we're used to looking at what's around us or how we feel or what's happened to us, and we take our eyes off of Jesus. That's why so much worship in Kingdom Faith is focused on Jesus, 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 Jesus. I sang a hymn, or I didn't sing, I just listened, a hymn the other night, and the hymn said, I can't remember the exact words, but it was along the lines of, I am in such distress, I am half bound and half free. It was all rubbish. What's the point in singing defeat over yourself? I understand the purpose of identifying with people that are in trouble and in sorrow and struggling, but I don't want to keep singing it over myself. I want to sing of the answer.
Yes, good.
Yeah, there's a place to pray in prayer. Oh God, my life is horrible. I hate what's happening to me. That's a prayer. You get it out there before the Lord, but we don't all need to sing it together. You know, you read some of David's Psalms and then some of the stuff he gets into is pretty negative, although it always goes to praise. You know, there's a place for that, but we don't all have to join in. Come to church and get miserable. No, church is a place to encounter God, receive the peace, the love and the joy. I dare to dream that this people is full of, that people come to this church and leave in a better place. Otherwise, what's the point, really, you know? So dare to dream is part of the fundamental vision of the summit because it's the fundamental vision of Kingdom Faith. And if you've never been on the website and read the full Dare to Dream vision, go and have a look. Exactly. It's exciting. Yeah, it's all there. It's all what God laid out before us right at the very beginning. And we haven't forgotten it, you know. It's still just there. It's a good place. So, back to the summit. So, God has placed us in this beautiful town, a town to dare to dream. And as I say, most of this is exactly the same as when we were up in the library room, daring to dream that God would give us a building in the town centre that was big enough for hundreds of people to come and encounter God. A building that would be a community building and all that. And there was many people around us who said, well, that's impossible. There's no such building that matches that description. So you're not going to get it. And if you do get it, you won't get planning permission to do something like that on a high street building in the middle of the town. That's pretty high street to me. We're on the same street as the town hall. You can't get much more central than that. A man was encouraging me at one time. It was in the same conversation that we had the joke and I said about Brian at Roasters becoming our cafe manager, actually. It's the same one. It was a good conversation because he was trying to persuade me that to enable the church to grow, we should buy or get hold of a building on the outskirts of town, say out at Eastfield, because they're cheaper and they're there and there wasn't anything here. And I said, well, there might not be anything in Scarborough at the moment, although we were hanging on to the Comet building and we were looking at the DHSS building and we went to that one in William Street car park. We were out there hunting and lifting our heads up and getting greater vision. And he said to me, why don't you go for one on the outskirts of town? I said, that is an absolutely brilliant idea. It makes sense. It's cheaper. But it's not what God said. And his sense is better than my sense, and I'm going to go with that. So we've got to stick with that. And he wasn't very impressed, because it didn't seem practical. It wasn't practical. It was just obedient. And we have to be obedient to walk in the favour that we've had released upon us. You have to be obedient. If you don't want God's favour, then go and do your own thing, and you just step outside it. It's not that God says, well, that's it, you're not having it anymore. It's just that you step outside of the favour of the Lord. I know we keep mentioning it, but it's so stuck in my mind, the old washing machine thingy. But if the person who got the washing machine had been disobedient to the call of God to be in the meeting, they wouldn't have got the washing machine. How graphic is that, that if you're disobedient to what the Lord is saying, you won't receive what he has for you? Because you're not in the right place at the right time. By grace, he may have found another way around, or he may have not. I want to walk in God's favour, don't you? This is God's favour. This is what we're giving into. Now, it was, shall we say, in requiring of a little bit of work. There you go. The locals thought it was rather an unusual thing to happen. Church for Booth Street. You can see the front page headlines in the Scarborough Evening News, as it was then. A mere fraction of the team that helped turn around the place. But you know, what was also incredible was all we really did, although it was hard work and it was a hard working summer, was decorate. God had prepared the building. It was there ready for us. He even put air conditioning in. You might not believe it if you're hot at the moment, but it's November. It's good to be hot at the moment. There will be some people in Remembrance Day services today who have got many layers on in the church they're sitting in. We are blessed. We are. We're very blessed. A team came together because they dared to dream that God could make a difference. And because we'd had summit offerings before, as we came to do it, there wasn't a mad dash and a mad scramble. We actually had cash in the bank waiting. It's a very biblical thing to give in advance of what God is going to do. So you can just step into it without sort of going into a mad prayer frenzy. Go, help, God, God, God. You know, it was there. And that's one of the reasons we continue with the summit offerings, so that we can continue to advance the work of it. If the offering today was tens of thousands, we wouldn't spend tens of thousands today. We would put some of it aside for the things that are to come. Only one of the summer offerings has been tens of thousands so far, but I'll keep believing. It was astonishing. There we are. Another picture just to remind you that we dare to dream and that we're right in the centre of town there. There's the Stephen Joseph Theatre. What did that do, going to the Stephen Joseph after the library? I think it lifted our heads that actually God was more serious about what he was doing in this town than we thought. Yeah, it was difficult to have great vision in a small room that's purple. And that echoed like anything. Whatever we tried to do with the sound, it was always difficult, shall we say. But we did our best. And we met with God there. And we were encouraged there. And we grew there from the small group that first went to that library, and we had that trailer in which all the equipment was loaded into. I don't know if you ever saw in the snow that trailer trying to get back up Deepdale Avenue to our garages, sliding back down again because it couldn't get up the hill, or even just trying to get out of our road in thick snow with a trailer on. We had some brave men, because they were, who hitched up that trailer and drove it in. Come rain, shine, or snow. There was only, I think, ever one Sunday, and might have been two, when we didn't manage to get the equipment there. That was miraculous. What a team. And there was a dedicated team of people, small but dedicated, that every week had to bring everything in upstairs. Why are we always upstairs? Maybe it's something to do with the name, you know, the summit. You call it the summit, you've got to go up to it, haven't you? Sometimes people say to me, why do you call it the summit? I won't go into long reasons now, but if you've not heard the reason why, it's based on the fact that the men of God in the Old Testament went up the mountain to meet with God. Okay, it was you go up there to encounter the Lord. That's the basic thing of where it comes from. And then God again stretched us and we said, let's do an international conference and hire the spa. I found a picture the other day. It was when Pete and Sally Norman were up visiting us. So it was years ago, and I can't remember. I think we were at the library by then, but we may have still been at that point, actually, because these are old ones, at the library rather than the theatre. And we were walking along the beach with them because we walked into town. It was a bitterly cold day, and I was walking with Pete, and that would have been about the view we had, actually, without quite so much tide coming in, as we walked along. And I said to Pete, we're going to do a Kingdom Faith conference there. I meant all of Kingdom Faith, not just little old Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. I said, it'd be great to have everybody, and we could do this and do this and do this. And of course, it came round to God saying, actually, it's you. It's you lot. You are Kingdom Faith. You're going to do it. So how am I going to do that? And there were many of us that struggled to believe that we'd actually pull it off. We didn't pull it off. God did it. Now, that was amazing. Looking forward to next year. You know, it's becoming established. There are people now around the world that are looking forward to this. Isn't that incredible? When we released that album of worship, we took 200 CDs to Faith Camp. Boom, they went. Just like that. If you want it, you can get it on iTunes or Amazon, but there aren't any CDs left. They've all gone. Hallelujah. Wouldn't have imagined it, would you, really? Now, here's some of the text that we've been saying for ages. I want you to see it because it's fundamental. This is what you're giving into. Why is there a picture of me? Because if we're totally honest, you've got to trust me in this. I know you trust the Lord, but I'm talking to you at the moment, and you're trusting that I'm speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's that sense of, I'm with you, I'm behind you, Pastor Paul. I don't usually make much of it, but in this, that is what it is. If you don't trust me, go to another church. You're not going to get anything out of being here, really. I'd love you to trust me, but if you don't, go somewhere else. If you think I'm after your money this morning because I want to put it in my pocket, please, please, please get somewhere else quick, because you're not going to grow with that attitude. You need to be somewhere where you trust the leadership. I'm not saying I'm perfect and I don't make mistakes or it might not upset you. I have upset plenty of people. But that's a different issue, isn't it? Hallelujah. I thought I might upset Joanne when I said, come on, let's sing a spontaneous duet. She just stepped up into us thinking, oh Lord, it might be one of those mornings when her voice isn't so good. That was my first thought. And then the Lord said, remember the washing machine. Just when I tell you to do something, do it. So I thought, okay, If her voice isn't good, he'll heal it. Hallelujah. So this is the point. This is what the summit is. This is what we believe in for this place. It's a place to meet with God. It's the summit. It's the mountaintop. It's a place where people hear from God. It's also a place to make Jesus known, which is why things like the coffee shop and everything else that goes on here, which we'll come on to, are so fundamental. The community being here, because it's not just a place to meet with God, it's a place for others to meet with God. And there's too many people who won't come to church, but they might come to something else. And we can pray into them and speak to them and love them and see them come through to know the Lord. That's the vision. It's a place for people, therefore, to say yes to Jesus. It's a place that glorifies Jesus. We always try to do the best we can. You know, we haven't got any stained glass windows, but we do try and make it look glorious. That's why they built glorious cathedrals, well, mostly. Because they wanted, it had to show that God was awesome. They didn't want a shack. I'm not into building a cathedral, but I want a building that is functionally the best it can possibly be. Yeah? You with me? Okay. It's a place that is for healing and miracles. Well, that's begun. Amen. Kimberly's story of the arm restored that had metal plates in it. Where have those metal plates gone? It's a miracle. Amen. The pain's gone. She's not on the intense painkillers. She's got the movement back. And that was just one of many. And there are many, many more just there coming. Because that's what this place is for. And not just in this place. I've had some great stories of people that have come back to me who, because they were inspired particularly by that Sunday where we saw so many healed and Kimberly so dramatically healed, and they've prayed for people in places like Sainsbury's car park, and they've been healed. Demonstrably. Oh, gone. Something was wrong with one of the hands of someone who was in the car park. That's why I'm looking at my hands. It's a community resource. I remember when we used to have that on there. It was like, how do you do that? How do you become a community resource? Sounds good. But already this building is being used by the community. And they're grateful for it. They love to come in here. A place to belong, welcome home. That's also fundamental to Kingdom Faith. It's a place to become part of the family. Whether you're single or in your own natural family, it's a place to be family. And it's a national and international center. That sounds a little bit, what? But deeper, there were people here from other places in Europe. God just does it. Amen? So it's a place to meet with God. So there are, there's just some pictures to excite you about being a place to meet with God. A place for weddings. A place to open. That's the picture up the top there when the deputy mayor, is now the mayor, opened the place. And the one at the bottom was Go Deeper with Jared Cooper when Elka was leading the worship. Praise God, I think. She's in the picture anyway. Hallelujah. The other one, with me in this jacket, was our first birthday weekend. Anyway, moving on. So we're talking, this is some looking at it from a different aspect. What are we giving into? A building that is of social and economic benefit to Scarborough and the region. What does that mean? Well, socially, we want to be a place where people's lives are improved. Economically, it means that because things are happening here, the region is being benefiting economically. So this is a lot better for this street than the empty building it was for 3 years. That we are able to employ people, because employed people then become people who put money back into the local economy and bless the local economy. That we are a generous church from the giving and the stuff that comes in, again, to be able to give back into the community. That our coffee lounge isn't just a place that costs us money, but actually makes money, because we can put money back then into the local community. And the fact that we're buying the coffee beans and we're buying the coffee cups and we're buying everything else we need benefits the economy. So it's not how you often think of as a church, but it's just a practical aspect of what God would have us do. Changing national indicators, that means national statistics, things like crime rate, anti-social behaviour and things like that. We weren't just to be pie in the sky, but actually changing stuff. In partnership with people like Scarborough Borough Council, North Yorkshire Police, Churches Together in Scarborough, Children in Need, North Yorkshire County Council, and other organisations. There's a list of people. But it's about not just doing it on our own, that we were to work with others and not think like we could do everything. And the challenge has been to work together with outside the church as well, and yet still be the church and not compromise what we believe. Learn the language that the council speaks so that we don't frighten them off. You know, I don't meet the mayor with, "Are you washed in the blood of the lamb?" Because it would freak him out, probably. I don't know. I don't really know him very well. But helping to achieve local priorities in the partnership plan, that's something the council writes about local authority working with local people. The regeneration of our area. I want Scarborough to be a better place because we're here, don't you? I want Yorkshire to be a better place. I believe that's part of our calling. And being one church, what's that? The acknowledgement that there's only one church. It's Pentecostal, Assemblies of God and Elim. It's Anglican, it's Baptist, it's Methodist, it's Catholic, it's Brethren, it's those that wouldn't go anywhere near us. But we're still one church. Is that true? The people at the church is the body of Christ, not the labels that we've then added. So, and sometimes that's tricky. Sometimes we, our brothers and sisters in other denominations would do things we thought of think, "Oh, I really struggle with what you're doing right now." But they're still our brothers and sisters. And we still recognise that that's God's problem or God's issue, if it is a problem, because maybe it's us wrong anyway. Yeah? We're going to stand firm by what God has given us, but we're open to what he teaches us. And there are some stuff out there. I'm not a fan, put it that way, of infant baptism. But that doesn't mean I can't be great friends with Martin Dunning, the vicar of St Mary's. Because we can value one another and disagree with one another. And that, I think, is the church growing up. When we don't just have to run down the stuff we don't agree with. It's an immature behaviour that you see a lot on Twitter and Facebook, where you don't agree with it, so you have to rubbish it. Someone compassionately, completely disagree with you, and they are still an intelligent, important, lovely human being. Yes. Let's not get on the bandwagon of thinking, "I disagree with them, so to make my position more important or more respectable, I've got to rubbish what they believe." We don't have to rubbish scientists that believe that Darwin got everything correct, or the development of it as it is today is correct. You won't find a scientist that believes Darwin was 100% correct, because it's been developed since then. It doesn't mean they're stupid. They're not. They're intelligent people with degrees. It doesn't do us any good just to rubbish people who believe in evolution. It really doesn't. It actually diminishes us for not respecting others. So we've learned to respect and yet not diminish what we believe. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
We're getting there. Right. Another picture of the birthday girl. Had to get it in somewhere, Joanne. Happy birthday to you. We wanted a building that would be a home for street angels and youth angels and now community angels. There's a bit I added. The whole vision of the angels has just grown so much since those early days. And if I'm really honest, when we started in 2007, we didn't know what angels were and we didn't know where we were going to go. We didn't even know the idea existed. All right, that is something. But it came out of the things we've already written about making a difference in the community. So when it came, it was like, yes, this is of the Lord because it fits in with what we're doing. Okay, a safe haven in the nighttime economy. That has been there for a long time, but it is actually happening now. A place where this is declared a safe place in our community, where the police will send people, where the door staff will send people. Are you with me on this? The reason I want to do all this, and I know some of you have heard it before, and maybe you're thinking, "I've heard all this before." It's so important we know it. Because when we give today, we want to give with faith that this makes a difference. All right, you might be giving £50, £500 or £5,000, but you want to know you're giving into good soil that's going to bring a good return, don't you? I do. I don't like giving into things where I think it's just going to be wasted, do you? All right. Targeting alcohol-related crime and antisocial behaviour that just became something specific that the Lord gave us, and we're doing it, and it's making a difference. Providing diversionary activities, there's a little bit of council speak, for children and youth. Something for children and youth to do so they don't get into trouble. Active use by the community, community courses. We haven't really got very far on that one. That's one of the to come ones where we're running things that help people practically. First class coffee lounge and play area. Yeah, come on. And a place for students and young adults. A place they can hang out. I mean, these three organisations, street and youth and now community. As the community grows, this was the answer to the council saying, can you pastor our community? What an opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
Far, far too big. Yeah. So we'll take it with this bit first. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Not that I want to eat an elephant, you understand. And some other things that are happening at the summit you know about. We've got the hub, the late night hub. The way it's developed, and we've just gone to opening every day, Tuesday till Saturday, open from 10 till 4, and later on Thursdays. Marvellous opportunity for the community. And the community are coming in, and the community are enjoying it. Little Builders has been phenomenal. The way it's taken off, the number of people that are just getting blessed by being part of it. Amazing job. Testimony of people that have come back from people, how they've been cared for people. People like Nikki and Anne Fuster just ringing people up and keeping in touch with people and lives getting turned around because of it. Awesome, awesome ministry. That is our biggest outreach ministry at the moment in terms of the number of people that it's actually bringing in. That's awesome, isn't it? All through toddlers. Hallelujah. It's great that this building is so often full. In fact, there are more people that come through this building in a week that are not saved than are saved. Because you've got Tuesday morning with Little Builders. You've got other Little Builders activities. You've got all the mums that come in because they're using the coffee shop. You've got the regular coffee shop things. You've got the youth angels doing their homework and more serious type club on the Wednesday nights. Then you've got the youth club on Friday nights. These are just people coming in that don't know the Lord. We're going to go to India, but how about we do it here too?
Yeah,
we're going to go to other African nations. I was trying to think where Nigel was going next, and it completely flew out of my head then. Sorry, Nigel. It was going to be a reference, but it went. And we got that great award to from Netmums as well there, which I just stuck up there. The dove flying in the corner is actually the symbol of the Holy Spirit, and it's great that the symbol of the way of the Spirit, and it's great that Nigel is developing the way of the Spirit and has been using the building, and people are coming to that here as well. And then there's stuff that's just not possible to get everything on there. There's Chris running Synergy, it started so small, and she's just done it again and again and again. She's, I think this is still God, you know, I'll do it again and again, and it's just beginning to grow. I'm amazed that it's not packed out. The quality of the crafts and the things you provide are just wonderful. You know, that's Tuesday nights. Talk to Chris. You think, oh, what's that then? It's just a natter and a craft and fun together and community living together. It's just a good evening. That couldn't get up there. I haven't got the prayer meetings that are happening up there, like Wednesday morning and Thursday morning. So much. Okay. I'm coming to the end. Here's the two verses that we had right from the beginning of Kingdom Faith. When I say from the beginning, I mean from the relaunch, if you like, in 2007. Because Kingdom Faith has been up here since the early 90s, of course. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. I'm not going to preach on it today, but it's good to remember it's there. This is to be a strong place of safety. Who are the righteous? Those that know the Lord. So we're bringing people in that come to know the Lord, and it becomes a safe place for them. Isn't it exciting to have local bouncers, to use the politically incorrect name, the local police, local publicans, local taxi drivers referring this as the safe place, the safe haven? That's awesome. The other one, and it was heard that Jesus was in the house. This, I think, it's always been there, it's always happening, but don't you think that right now this is a verse that's key?
Yes. Come on.
You know, it's a verse where people need to hear that Jesus is in the house. Yes. Let's not be afraid of talking about what God is doing. Talk about how you enjoy church, don't be embarrassed by it. Talk about the healings that you've seen here. and say, well, come along and see. Come along and try it. Yeah. You know, let's just... How did people hear that Jesus was in the house? It refers to a story where he's in Capernaum. Other people told them. That's a bit ordinary. Here's a couple more of scriptures that I wanted to add for this morning from Luke, because we've been looking at Luke. Because I think this is also part of they heard that Jesus was in the house. Jesus welcomed them and preached about God's kingdom to them and healed all who were sick.
Amen.
All. I think that's a really important word. I'm fed up with people who go away still not well, aren't you?
Yes.
We're pushing to see that changed.
Amen.
Jesus welcomed them. That's so important. The host team, fundamental to this church.
Amen.
If you have a team of people who are not welcome, I mean, we're all the host team, on one, of course. We should all be looking out for people who are new and helping them to feel part of what's happening. But we also have a team that do that more thoroughly, if you like, every Sunday. They're the ones just watching out, headed up by Peter and Anne. So important. Welcome them. Because the welcome them leads into the preach about God's kingdom. What's God's kingdom? It's the rule and the reign of King Jesus in people's lives. It's lives transformed. We saw the pictures of the summit building, this place, being transformed. It was transformed from a bar and snooker club into a building where people encounter God. Yeah, transformation. This place is about people's lives being transformed from something that's broken into something that is in Jesus, whole. What we did in the natural, God is doing supernaturally.
Yeah,
bit of supernatural redecorating. Then heal the sick in that place and tell them God's kingdom is now within your reach. That's something that Jesus said when he sent out the disciples, the 72. Then heal the sick in that place, in Scarborough, in the summit, and tell them God's kingdom is now within your reach. That's it. Tell them. Right. Here's a verse for the offering. In Corinthians that Paul wrote. Remember this. Do you believe the Bible? Well, this is what it says. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. I mean, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? If you put one seed in the ground, you don't get much back. If you sow a whole field, you get a whole field. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. But the next sentence is just as important. Each one should give what they have decided in their heart to give. What has God told you to give? Do that. If he said you can't afford it right now, that's fine. When I was a student, I remember a friend of mine, Richard, upsetting absolutely everybody. And all the students got really, really angry with him because we were talking about giving and all the students were saying, well, we can't give because we don't have any money because we're students. And we probably had more money than today's students, but that's another story. And it went like that. And all that he said was one of the guys that was quite loud in, I can't give because I'm just a student and I've got a student loan and I shouldn't give any of that away and whatever. And Richard turned to him and said, you've eaten two Mars bars this week. And he said, yes. He said, well, you could have given one of them. There's always something we can give. Give what is in your heart that God has prepared you. But not reluctantly, because it's about being generous. You want to receive from God generously. You want to receive in favor. We don't talk much, really, enough probably, about giving in this church, but this is probably the most fundamental scripture there is to do with it. It steps aside from tithes and offerings and all the discussions people have. This is just about giving. And it was about giving money. The whole thing is Paul's encouraging the Corinthians to give money. They've decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. You should never give because you feel like you've been pressurized into giving it by another person. The Holy Spirit might be placing you under conviction, but that's another matter. That's between you and Him. But you never give. That's why you must be very careful if you've got a charismatic preacher who's really going for it. Right, have I been stirred by him or by the Holy Spirit? By her or by the Holy Spirit? Because you don't want to give under compulsion. And the final clue, for God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever conclusion you come to, we do it with a smile on our face. Because we're just giving back what's his anyway. Without going into any details, the thing on tithing is some Christians say, well, tithing belongs to the Old Testament. And a tithe is 10%, that's what it means. Well, if tithing of 10% was in the Old Testament, whenever Jesus talked about or taught on principles from the Old in the New, he always took them a lot further. The Old Testament says, don't commit adultery. Jesus said, don't even look at a woman lustfully, because that's committing adultery. So there wouldn't be a lower standard. And there isn't, because actually everything we have belongs to him. We shouldn't really be deciding what to give. We should be deciding what we're going to have left. And it's not how much you give. It's what you have left. And there are challenges. But that's what it's like. It's faith. So that's what we're going to do now. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Shall we stand? Father, we thank you that you have provided for us so miraculously. Father, I thank you that as we've looked through this vision, it's so exciting to see so much of it happening now, rather than this is what we're looking forward to, this is what we will be doing. It's now a question of this is what we are doing, this is what's growing. And Father, we thank you that you provide for everything. And I pray, Lord, right now across this room that by your Holy Spirit you will speak to us clearly, that we could give in obedience to this scripture. That we would be able to sow generously, but not feeling under compulsion. That nobody would be having to give reluctantly, but that we could all give cheerfully. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. You provide for everything. I thank you, Father, that this offering is based on the summit, but I thank you, Father, that you miraculously provide for the summit and for Lamplugh House. Father, I thank you that you have made us a two-base ministry. I thank you for our retreats and training center, Father. And as you release money into this, that will enable the things to happen there that we need to happen there. Father, we thank you for provision to enable the ministry and the work of that happens in both buildings to grow and develop and flourish. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.